from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. This is 30 Laps with Dick. I'm Richard Lyon. And we've got the usual mixed bag, potpourri, lucky dip, kaleidoscope, merry-go-round, party mix, licorice all-sorted mixed nut selection this week at 30 Laps. Famous American TV personality Jay Leno and his real love, his collection, I should say, and boy, what a collection of motor vehicles it is. The car collection. Not his girlfriend collection, as he refers to, but his car collection. Well, we'll get a look at it this week. His car collection, that is. Oh boy, when in a hole, stop digging. That's what my old man used to say. So I put the spade down and let's move on. Tesla 4, fossils nil. Wise up, you analysts. And getting the classic car silent treatment. It's all in front of us today at 30 Laps. So, let's get cracking, shall we? And welcome back to Dexter Gordon from his holidays last week. We sure missed him, although the Beatles stood in for him very well. And something else from last week, we talked about a Falcon XY GTHO Phase 3 being sold at auction last week in Sydney. Well, it came in at $582,109, but was passed in. It didn't reach its reserve. Crikey, that is one expensive Falcon. But let's get cracking, shall we? What's this Jay Leno got to say? Well, from the Daily Mail TV, Jay Leno reveals he got his first car as a teen because he wanted to take pictures of his girlfriend, which were inappropriate. And he gives the Daily Mail TV a private tour of his multi-million dollar 357 vehicle collection. So 30 Laps went along for the ride. And this article was written by Josh Boswell from dailymail.com and it featured on the 27th of February this year. Former Tonight Show host Jay Leno says he bought his first car, which started a multi-million dollar 357 vehicle collection, because he wanted freedom to take inappropriate pictures of his girlfriend. On an exclusive tour of the comedian's Los Angeles garage, filled with hundreds of classic cars and motorcycles, Leno told Daily Mail TV that living as a teenager in rural Massachusetts before the technological wonder of sexting, driving a car was his only way to get kicks. Guys would sit at home and you just text your girl, "Oh, send me a funny picture," or they'd send a funny picture. Well, in our day, you had to drive to a girl's house, somehow convince them that you wanted to take their photo, and when their parents weren't around, Leno said. Then, when you got the film, you had to find a place that would develop it that didn't know your parents. So you'd have to go two towns over. Then, when you got the pictures back, there were black marks everywhere. I'm not sure what the definition of freedom for young people is now. Maybe it's the iPhone, maybe it's computers. But I lived in a rural area. Uptown was 7 miles. So you rode your bike. By the time you got uptown, everything was over. So the car, the motorcycle, any mode of transport like that, was the ultimate freedom. You could go out, you could go away, you could go anywhere you wanted. the 69-year-old comedian and renowned car collector now hosts his own car TV show, Jay Leno's Garage. But he started out in Andover, Massachusetts, with a humble 1934 Ford. Working through college in Boston at a Rolls-Royce Bentley and Mercedes-Benz dealership, Leno began hunting down bargains on classic cars and renovating them to their former glory. Leno is now the proud owner of 189 cars and 168 motorcycles, worth some millions of dollars apiece. His most valuable and coincidentally his favourite modern car, a 1994 McLaren F1, is now worth around $17 million, though previous auctions of the model have topped $24 million. One of Leno's oldest models is a 1906 Standard Steamer Vanderbilt Racer, a vintage steam-powered racing car that he's had to restore twice, the second time after its boiler exploded. The Tonight Show veteran is currently converting a 1914 Detroit electric car to run on Tesla power, bringing it trundling into the 21st century. On the tour, Leno fired up one of his motorbikes, a 1999 Y2K turbine superbike, which runs on the equivalent of a jet engine and has a roaring whoosh to match. All this, hey folks, just so he could stop being so lonesome he could cry.
Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Anyway, back to the story. Shouting over the whine of the engine emitting a sound that's similar to when standing next to an aeroplane, Leno said, "You're so glad when you get it off. You go for a ride, and when you get it off, you're so happy to be alive. It's so ridiculous. It just shuts the Harley guys up when you pull in with a jet. It's putting out 1,500 degrees out the back. I'm just so glad I didn't fall off and get burned to death." Among the comedian's scores of vintage bikes is the world's largest collection of British Borough Superior motorcycles, popularised by Colonel Thomas Lawrence, better known as Lawrence of Arabia. These were the pinnacle of motorcycle engineering back in the day, Leno explained. Lawrence of Arabia was famous for owning two Borough Superiors. These cost as much as a house back in the 20s. Back then, most motorcycles barely went 60 miles an hour. These went over 100. They were a thing of legend in books and stories. Leno said he bought his latest car, the 189th in his collection, about 3 months ago, because the 19-foot by 11-foot 1958 Lincoln Continental 3 was the most obnoxious automobile possible. I'd love to drive this through the Cotswolds, which is in rural England, and say, "Hey, I'm an American. We're looking for McDonald's," just so people could come out and throw things at us. This was the kind of thing President Donald Trump would drive through England, the most obnoxious automobile possible, the most American crap. Gas-spewing, huge, heavy thing, he said. That was a family car. 16-year-old girls took their driver's tests and those things. But it's so big, you could pack everyone in and go for a ride. Though Leno singled out his McLaren Formula One as his most favourite car, he has trouble deciding on the all-round number one favourite from the vast collection, spanning more than 100 years of automobile history. "I wouldn't have all these cars if I had a favourite," he told the Daily Mail TV. "The way it works is, if you like something, you just keep going further back. What came before that, and what came before that? The nice thing about this hobby is it's not like Egyptology, where you have to go back 10,000 years. It's really only 150 years old at best, so there's all these remnants of the stuff still around, which makes it kind of fun." The stand-up comic who still tours the country performing when he isn't in the Big Dog Auto Shop in Burbank, Los Angeles, says he enjoys the balance of manual and mental labour. I like the mechanical calmness of driving, he said. I'm in a business where you make your living by talking. I think the heart is the healthiest when the head and the hands work together. When you fix something, you've actually accomplished something. Comedy is such a subjective thing. Some people like you, some people think you suck. And they're both right. If people don't think you're funny, you're not funny. But if you take something that's broken and make it run, nobody can say it's not running. You're with Richard Lyon on 30 Laps with Dick, and we're with Jay Leno this week in his Big Dog Auto Shop in Burbank. And we're 11 minutes into our journey.
I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like me.
I don't think Jay Leno walks very far anywhere these days. The idea is if something's broken and you fix it and then you drive it, you feel like you've not some rich sod who just rides around all day and has no idea how the thing works. I mean, I meet people like that all the time. I don't want to be one of those guys. Leno said the appeal of his vehicles can vary from speed to beauty or bestial power. The comedian said one of his monstrous vehicles, especially made from a Cold War era tank engine, was a particular favourite of his friend, Terminator star and former Californian governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is Schwarzenegger's favourite car. Arnold loves it, Leno said, mimicking the bodybuilder's German accent. Every time he gets near it, it's like, oh, I just love that car. It's just like the Terminator. It's fantastic. He has his picture taken with it, he added, gesturing to the giant metal grille. His head looks like the front of it, doesn't it? It's just so stupid. It's an M47 Patton tank engine. It weighs 5 ton. It's ridiculous. We put Bosch fuel injection. We put twin turbos on it, and it's actually quite powerful. It's just stupid. It's a big, giant, more money than brains thing. Leno's garage manager, 54-year-old John Perra, revealed another star was close to the Big Dog garage. Perra, who has worked for Leno for 28 years, said he once sold a 1974 Rolls-Royce that he had restored to John Travolta for $80,000. Perra said the grease star was desperate to buy the vehicle, once owned by Oscar-winning actor Ernest Borgnine, in the superstitious hope that it would help him also win an Academy Award. I had Travolta beg me for it because he idolised Ernest Borgnine, Perra told Daily Mail. He thought if he bought it, maybe he'd win an Oscar. Some of the luck would run off, but he's never won an Oscar, so it didn't. Leno said that one of his favourite stories behind a classic car was for a yellow 53 Hudson Hornet he acquired from a 94-year-old woman. She's 94, but no hearing aid or glasses. She goes, oh, I've got a 51 Hudson. Will you come and have a look at mine? My husband and I bought it new in 1951. We drove it from New Jersey to California. He died in 96. It's the only car we've ever owned. It's in the driveway with 4 flat tyres, he said. Leno restored the car and 2 years later called the woman up to offer her a ride, wondering if the woman, now 96, would still be alive. She said, yeah, but I got to get my hair done. I said, okay, how about Friday? She said, is it okay if I bring the kids? I said, yeah. Well, the kids were 72 and 74. Leno said that on their road trip, her children behaved just as they did when they were little. They sat in the back seat of the Hornet as their parents drove it across the country to the West Coast. I pick her up and the kids have got her blindfolded. I pull up and she's touching the car. They take the blindfold off and she starts crying. We go for a ride and she's telling me how they drove with the kids in the back from New Jersey. So we're driving along and the 72 and 74-year-olds in the back start poking each other. She turns around and slaps the shit out of them. I told you kids to behave. Mr. Leno's taking us out. Why are you doing this? The three of them are just having the time of their life, falling down laughing. Leno added that the brassy grandmother lived to be 104. Despite passing retirement age, Leno says he's too busy working to go on any long road trips with his classic cars, though he enjoys a drive up to Angeles Crest above Los Angeles. You know, the funny thing about Los Angeles is everyone says the driving's awful. It's awful around the 210, the 5, the 405 or the 101. But you go 6 miles up to Chunja Canyon and you don't even see another car. It's like driving in Sicily. I was there yesterday. I drove up to the snow line, he said. It's only 46 miles from here and it snowed in. And yet it's 75 degrees where we are now. You really can't go anywhere like that in Europe where you can go surfing and skiing on the same day. A representative for the Visit California who arranged the Big Dog carriage tour says visitors wanting to plan a road trip to the Golden State should go to visitcalifornia.com and discoverla.com. But perhaps after this terrible event that we're going through at the moment, is all over, especially if you want to go to the United States. And that was from the Daily Mail, TV.com. It was written on the 27th of February 2020 by Josh Boswell.
Oh, the world is seven wonders, so the travelers always tell. Some gardens and some towers, I guess you know them well. But now the greatest wonder is in Uncle Sam's fair land. It's that keen Columbia River and the great Grand Coulee Dam.
Talking about travelling, there goes rambling Jack Elliott, doing what he does best, singing and rambling. We're 17 minutes into our journey today, 30 laps with Dick. I'm Richard Lyon. And we move to the Australian Financial Review of the 30th of January. Analysis by Matthew Winkler. Wise up, analysts. Fossils are long dead, and Tesla is the real deal. Tesla, the 17-year-old Silicon Valley maker of battery-powered zero-emission vehicles, is now the second-largest automaker measured by market capitalization, overtaking number two Volkswagen with a value of US $101 billion. It wasn't long ago that no industry analyst would have predicted that the 82-year-old German seller of 30 times as many vehicles last year would become an also-ran to Tesla. Most remain unconvinced that Tesla is worth US$558 a share, and less than 32% recommended buying the stock, according to Bloomberg data. But Tesla customers and investors are making the case that the reliance on the internal combustion engine by Volkswagen and the 39 other major automakers committed to a commercial fossil fuel machine invented in the 19th century is a dubious strategy. Tesla is worth $131 billion less than the number one Toyota, but its sales growth has been more than nine times the industry average during the past decade and 832 times Toyota's 25% appreciation since Tesla became a public company in June 2010 with an initial valuation of $2 billion. These are all US dollars, of course. Tesla has been poised to catch Volkswagen in the share market since 2014. That's when US regulator confirmed that Volkswagen equipped more than 10 million vehicles worldwide with a software defect, emissions test, and existential moment for the industry. The global sales leader in effect revealed that growth depended on making cleaner vehicles and that it would cheat if necessary to stay ahead. JP Morgan Chase Bank equity research analyst Ryan Brinkman is among the biggest Tesla bears. He has a targeted price of US $240 a share and a sell rating for the next 12 months. He's issued 28 consecutive sell recommendations since February 2015. Tesla has appreciated 178% since then. During the preceding 3 years, he initiated 14 neutral or hold ratings in a row, as the shares were climbing 487%, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Colin Rusch, the top 10 performer in the group and the Oppenheimer & Co. analyst, who is more bullish on Tesla, on January 13 said, the shares were worth $612, a 59% increase from its $385 target price, published January 3. He said the company was a buy on August 2, 2018, and rated the shares a buy even when they lost almost 50% between August 2018 and June 2019. Tesla shareholders who followed Roush throughout the past 12 months made 90%, according to Bloomberg. More than half of Roush's companies are committed to clean energy rather than being traditional auto stocks. As for Tesla, Roush is the lonely analyst who disagrees with Dies. While Tesla has stumbled through growing pains, we believe the company has reached critical scale sufficient to support sustainable, positive, free cash flow, Roush wrote earlier this month. That's another way of saying the best for Tesla is yet to come. And that appeared originally in Bloomberg, and in this it appeared in the Australian Financial Review of the 30th of January. Analysis, Matthew Winkler. Wise up, analysts. Fossils are long dead, and Tesla is the real deal. Just like John Lee Hooker. Boy, he's the real deal too.
Well, I'm a crawling king snake, and I...
That's a great song to listen to when you're riding around, whether it's the Cooley Dam or with Jay Leno. Now, what was that famous quote of Dylan Thomas's? Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at the close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And from that to this, we go to the Australian Financial Review Leisure and Life and Leisure section from 3rd to the 8th of March this year by Tony Davis. Classic cars get the silent treatment. The next big trend in classic cars might be a silent one. An increasing number of companies are offering to replace old petrol drivetrains with high-tech electric ones. The idea proposed by Aston Martin and others is for a collector to put the original engine and gearbox in a crate to preserve the history, and in case they or a subsequent owner ever wishes to switch it back. Meanwhile, they can enjoy a classic that can drive anywhere, including into the cities, with a ban or toll on internal combustion cars, no local emissions, and plenty of low-down torque. And unlike many cranky old engines, the new electric systems will likely start every time. Renault in the UK has just displayed reborn electric Jaguars, Rolls-Royces and Bentleys from the 1950s and 60s that have been given the silent treatment. Renault's cars include regenerative braking, fast charging and other modern electric car features. They also have satellite navigation, phone connectivity, climate control and power steering. As with modern battery machines, the main barrier is cost. With classics, this is further compounded by the amount of bespoke work needed with each example. Aston is quoting about $380,000 to convert your DB6 to electric. Lunaz says its prices start at £350,000, about $673,000 Australian dollars, though this includes the car too, fully restored and fitted out. At the slightly more affordable end of the scale, aftermarket companies around the world, including a few small operators in Australia, such as Jaunt, are converting old Land Rovers, Beetles and more. One of the most successful, California-based Zelectric, will electrify a Combi or early Porsche for about $90,000. The recent announcement that Yamaha is producing a compact and affordable electric motor that can be configured to generate between 35 and 200 kilowatts, plus continuing improvements in battery energy density, suggests we might not be too far away from cassette-type systems that will make the process easier and a great deal cheaper. Until then, see Lunax Design, jauntmotors.com and zelectric.com, and continue to rage into the night and not go silently, especially against the dying of the lights. Thank you, Dylan Thomas. Doesn't sound the same without a wonderful Welsh accent, but I won't butcher it by trying that. Well, we're on the subject of Tesla a minute ago. The manufacturer of electric cars is named after the designer of the alternating current, AC, electricity system, Nikola Tesla, 1856 to 1943. The brand's first model, the Roadster, used a motor descended from his original design. The stylized T of the logo represents the cross-section of an electric motor, with the upright part symbolizing the rotor pole and the curved line over the top of it a section of the stator. So there you are, you see, a bit of useless information on the Tesla emblem. And that about wraps it up for us this week. I hope you've enjoyed having a brief discussion about what makes the world go round for Jay Leno. We've taken some of the X-rated stuff out of the agreement because we really didn't need to know that much information about his girlfriends. However, it got him started on his long road of collecting motor vehicles. 189 cars and 168 motorcycles, to be precise. That is some collection. We might actually have a look at what's in that collection at some later stage, and just to perhaps pick three or four or five or six of the best vehicles that he's got there on display. From there, we had a quick look about the Tesla price and why fossil fuels are on the nose, and Tesla and electric motor vehicles are making a roaring comeback, but making a very silent input into the way we look about transportation in the future. That is, when we can all drive past 15 kilometres past our doorstep, of course. Then, classic cars getting the silent treatment, providing you've got the money. So that was interesting too, by Tony Davis in the Australian Finance Review Life and Leisure section of the 3rd of March. Thanks again for your company this afternoon. I've enjoyed talking to you, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Until then, bye for now.